to stop the presses here on the 23rd March 2020. And I decided to go live today. You know, society's looking a little choppy right now. Things are looking a little dicey. But we're trying to keep it live as much as possible. Lots of other research takes me other directions. I'm working on a couple of books. So it's hard to always do the radio. But we're trying to be as consistent as possible here at RBN and really regrow the station and reassert the station at this hour of need that the country finds itself in. And my guest today is Brian David Anderson, an alternative health practitioner from California. And he and I have worked together on some projects, including something about JFK. Maybe we'll talk about that a little. But it's hard not to keep talking about this so-called coronavirus, ladies and gentlemen. But today we'll do something a little bit different and get into some history about plagues and the spreading of disease. What is disease, after all? What are vaccines and the whole nine yards? What are viruses? We might even ask that fundamental question. Is the world of germs, is the world of pathogens, the world that we're described about, you know, the world that we're described in terms of, how would I say this? In terms of the way that world is described, is it accurate? And fundamental questions like that. Thanks for being with me today, Brian.
Good to be here.
Yes. This is a tough thing to tackle, of course. And I've got half a mind to get out some signage here with things like faith over fear, rebuke media lies, stop martial law, keep free speech, assemble, we must keep free assembly. I'm about ready to put all that stuff on a placard and stand at a busy intersection, and I might just do that this week. But first of all, I understand, starting with the current events, I understand California is really in dire straits in terms of a lockdown. And you're hearing rumors now that there could be tanks on the streets and National Guardsmen keeping order. Is that correct?
Well, there's reports that there's all sorts of tanks all over San Diego. They're passing through. Coming from where, I don't know, is sort of a very bizarre thing. And that's the reports I'm getting. I'm trying to confirm that, but it's distressing at the very least.
Yeah, that it would even come to that. California always seems to be on the extreme edge. The unexplained and inexplicable wildfires that really aren't wildfires to a large extent. Very, very ambiguous, very suspicious things going on there. And the droughts that, you know, go hand in hand with these fires. And all manner of things. And now you have this where California seems to be the most tyrannical, if you will, and hardest hit place, or at least among the most hardest hit places with regards to this coronavirus. So you're certainly not facing an easy situation out there, and it's not just with the coronavirus. California seems to be under some sort of curse almost. But that aside, you're an alternative health practitioner, and there's a lot that we can say about this, but what do you find, Brian, as the most questionable or suspicious things about this coronavirus scare? And we'll get into some history, some interesting background and historical things, but what do you find the most inexplicable or strange about this whole thing?
Well, it's been going on now for years, but this is a continuation, is the CV test. And even to say that it's you're taking a coronavirus test, that is fraud already in itself. Just even that title, well, I'm going down and I'm going to take a CV test. Well, no, you're not taking a CV test. They do not test for viruses. They test for proteins. And it's a protein that has been given off by your cell, and it is toxic. It's considered a toxic protein. We all have these toxic proteins in us. I contend that if they were able to test 100% of the people all over the world, probably 60 to 70% would have already that protein with no type of flu symptoms or whatever. It's already a natural type of protein already in the body. So just the thing of saying CV test, we're administering CV tests. No, you're not. That is fraudulent. To put that out and say that is complete 100% lie and fraud.
that's a lot to consider right there when they tell you there's, you know, a couple hundred thousand plus cases worldwide, and that of those, we're pushing probably 80,000 in recoveries. Excuse me, and the recoveries in most countries are outpacing the so-called deaths. So what you're suggesting there, Brian, is that the number of cases, which is the number they really want to drum home alongside the number of so-called deaths, if that number is based on this fraudulent test, then we're getting a complete lie, really. I mean, it's bad enough to leave out the recoveries and only report the deaths and the cases, but if there's not even a genuine test for the virus and it's only some common protein, then all these numbers cannot be trusted in the least. I mean, they're completely unreliable and fraudulent numbers across the board.
Yeah, it's, you know, basically the false positive is just rampant. And we were discussing before we were on the air here about Italy. Italy is probably one of the greatest frauds, is because now they've discovered the people that are, quote, dying in Italy, 80 or almost 90% of them are 80 years older, or 80, or average age of 80, average age of 80, not, you know, up to 80, but average age of 80. So they have what they call comorbidity factors. So basically the person dies, and then from what I understand is that they'll just go, oh, well, that person had the coronavirus, that's why. But they actually die of lung cancer or something else. And so when you take that cofactor out, this was like 2 or 3 days ago, is that when you take all those comorbidity rates out, then the actual death rate of somebody from a flu-like symptoms is two. They've only had two deaths that way. So it's a major type of thing. And the key thing I think here that's outstanding is the host city of Wuhan. First off, they mandated that everybody in Wuhan have vaccines. 2019, you probably had 95 to 99% of the people in Wuhan received vaccines. The second thing is that Wuhan was designated as a 5G rollout, and they turned it on. Guess when they turned it on? November. And the 5G has this range between 6 gigahertz to 100 gigahertz. Well, there is a key frequency at 60 gigahertz. When you're around that field, and say if you have a 5G phone and it's at 60 gigahertz, then you're vulnerable to having the oxygen that's uptake in the hemoglobin of your blood in the lungs will be interfered with. It will depress that. So that's why, again, a lot of the people in China, especially Wuhan, they were having these dry coughs and then labored breathing. Well, that's, you know, they call that the coronavirus. Well, no, but that's also the same identical things is when you're around a 60G signal or it's being broadcast at you and maybe you have a 5G phone. There's many videos that came out, and now they've been trying to suppress them, but fortunately a lot of people recorded them where they were underground type of videos that were being coming out of showing people on the street, and they would just keel over and die, or they would just keel over. And viruses don't do that. Viruses cannot cause a sudden death or even a sudden passing out, that type of thing. It'll be, you know, sick and in bed for that, but just to drop dead of it or even drop of it, viruses don't do that. So you can also then, the way that they're advertising now in 5G here in the United States is they're saying that it goes between 27 and 39 hertz, but all 5G transmitters all have the ability to go from 6 to 100 hertz. So you can have the 60 hertz turned on at various places, and then people get sick and turn it off. You can turn it on, turn it off. So another thing also that was very deceptive about the 5G is the propaganda was that it was going to take a lot of equipment to do this. There would have to be small little antennas everywhere, and trees would have to be knocked down and all this sort of stuff. And that, yes, basically, it turns out it appears to be right now a lie. is that now 30 cities in the United, across the United States, include where I live in Palm Springs, Palm Desert, is the 5G has been turned on. So very, what is now apparent is that the 5G comes from satellites. It does not come from all these little small antennas. So that's what I thought myself. I didn't really get active in 5G. I wanted to do that, to oppose it, because I thought it was still 2 or 3 years away. And they then in March of this year, right in the middle of all this going on, they turned on the 5G across the United States. So, and now what was really distressing is the Los Angeles superintendent of schools in Los Angeles came out on major television, all the stations, and said, what we're going to do is to try to provide laptops and various other types of things for children because all the schools are closing. So they're going to give underprivileged children then these computers, and guess what they're going to be using? 5G. So it's been a well-planned, a well-orchestrated type of thing. From everything what we were talking about before then, Mark, is this is not the first time this has happened. I do recommend, if you want to look up where it's happened in the past, distant past, and there is a book called The Gods of Eden by William Bramley. And he breaks down the plagues in the 13th, 14th, and 15th centuries when there's supposedly this Black Death and all these things happened. And now people have forensically gone back into it and really saw what people were writing versus that of what was put in the history books. And so you can actually, read the mayor and read the people as they were talking about or writing down their thoughts. And it was a real prevalent type of thing, especially out in the countryside, where they would see people, or they would see these beings out in their fields. They were covered in garb, and they had these sticks from their hands, and then what was happening, what they thought was maybe a blade, was actually a spray. So their fields were being sprayed, and then very shortly after, all the people started to get sick and dying. And this has been repeated on numerous other accounts. This is not just one, but numerous. From French to German to English, people in the cities and the farms saw this happening in small little villages. So it looks in appearance that there has been some sort of control over the United States, but over the world in general. And then now there's several other types of plagues that happened over the time, but now we go to 1918. And we had the end of World War One, and troops were brought home, and the doughboys were covered in all of these chemicals that they used in the battlefield.
So they mustard gas and everything else. Yeah.
Occurring is that the troops are coming home covered, and there's no protection for their families. At the same time, then that was the very first time that they had started doing. Vaccines, and this is, I didn't know this myself until just recently. I just thought that vaccines were recent. They're not. They go back to 1918, and what was now determined by the forensic paperwork is that 95 to 99% of the people who took the vaccine died, and that's what really killed a lot of the people. It was the combination of the troops coming home, and the families are getting saturated with the chemicals, and then they took the vaccine, and that was like a perfect wave. And so you had a tremendous amount of death, and it's been documented that those families who did not have the vaccine then survived. And there's several now. There's a lady who has a diaries from her mother, and that the family did not take the vaccine, and everybody else around them did. They all died. And her family then was taking care of everybody else. They have several stories like that. So then we now have the polio vaccine and the whole polio type of situation. In the early 1950s mid-50s to up to the 1960s, the doctors were paid anywhere between $25 to $50 per diagnosis of polio. The list for all of the various symptoms of then polio was really, really long. I mean, you come in and you had a cough or you had this or whatever. Of course, now the doctor is motivated. He's got $50 on back in the 1950s. That's a lot of money. And you got right. 10 people coming in you, and you got, you know, a good $1,000 or $500. That's a lot of money. So they, you know, that's how the rate of polio, its rates were, you know, spiked way up. Then they came out with the vaccine. The vaccine actually killed people. They had to pull it off the market. Actually, probably John Salk should have been put under house arrest himself and tried for manslaughter at least. But
I've
then
read
they came
that,
out
yes.
with other
I've
stuff.
Read a, I've read a very convincing accounts of that. Go on.
Yeah, so the they basically, after that, they just basically came out with sugar cubes. There was really nothing. But what changed everything? If they were only putting just, you know, little drops of innocuous stuff in sugar cubes, like we took when we were kids, is what was happening then is what they did is they stopped paying the doctors $50 per diagnosis, and they way shortened the list of symptoms for the polio. So what happens to the rates? It crashes.
So right.
It appears it was just a major, you know, it was just another accounting, you know, type of magician type of thing where they inflated it in the beginning and then deflated it, and it looked like that the, you know, polio disappeared, but it really wasn't there in the first place. And then they basically deflated it and looked like they had cured it, which was just, you know, again, the fraud of it. Now you get into HIV. The same thing is that you had the Western Africa being absolutely saturated with chemicals, with all different types of pesticides and et cetera. And the local people started dying, and they had to have a way of then diverting the attention away from the pesticides. Here is a really harsh reality, ladies and gentlemen. You really need to understand this. Viruses are considered acts of God, and you cannot sue nor prosecute a virus. Impossible.
Right.
But you can sue the originators of pesticides, poisons, and deadly electromagnetic fields. So then the persons who also own the microwave companies and also own the chemical companies, they had to come up with a diversion, and voila, we have AIDS, we have Ebola, we have SARS, we have Zika, and now this ridiculous thing called coronaviruses. They need to have a diversion away from what it really is doing and then put it on the virus.
Yeah, we got about a minute before the break. But yeah, that's becoming a very entrenched practice. We look at this historically. We don't just look at the current novel coronavirus thing. And we've seen many instances where chemical warfare has been basically conducted against the people through experimentation, through agricultural applications, of course, tainting our water. We know the fluoride story. But all manner of ways of controlling and tainting the soil and the food supply and the air we breathe, and then blaming it on some sort of pathogen. It's a very convenient scapegoat. And we'll be back with much more on this with Brian David Anderson. Please stay tuned.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
And welcome back to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, the 23rd of March, 2020. My guest is Brian David Anderson, an alternative health practitioner from California. No direct relation. He's an SEN, I'm an SON, but we have worked together on a JFK project. And as I said earlier, we might allude to that a little bit toward the end of the show. We'll see. But we're sort of, fixated on this so-called coronavirus. But what we're hearing today so far, ladies and gentlemen, is, of course, that this could very well be cover for the chemical contamination, the direct and deliberate chemical contamination or chemical warfare against the people, along with uncontrolled and unregulated industrial applications of chemical agents, be they agricultural, be they chemtrail spraying in the skies, aerial spraying, where they claim they're trying to control global warming. All sorts of possibilities. But, Brian, we do have a caller. I guess I'll go ahead and take the caller. I don't want to make him wait until after the bottom of the hour. Fred from Iowa, are you out there?
Yeah. Mark, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, loud and clear.
Yeah, well, both you, Mark, this is one of the shows that I respect, and it's not that I respect many shows or hosts. But you're putting out valuable information. Now, food is your medicine, and medicine is food. I'm 82 years old. I haven't taken even an aspirin in almost 6 years. My immune system is probably as good as a 40 or 50-year-old. Okay, when these viruses, the common cold or the flu, come along, elderly people are more at risk. Okay, that's understandable. But whether this was created by the CIA at Fort Detrick in Maryland or Virginia, wherever it is, or if it's organic, it makes no difference. Now, what's that mayor of Chicago now? When he was at a cabinet office, he said, "Take advantage of a crisis." Okay.
Yeah.
what these governments are doing, and mainly ours, but all governments, are they are creating and this crisis far above and what it is. And you cannot, we cannot survive a shutting down 60% of the economy. It wouldn't be a recession. It would be a depression that would make 1929 look like a cakewalk. I don't think these SOBs will let it go that far. But this people that yap on hold the same crap hour after hour, day after day. Well, this government's doing this, and over in Italy, they're doing this in the numbers. It doesn't even compare with the common flu. Now, with shows like yours, we've got to get this message out to the people that our governments, especially ours, and governments worldwide, are taking advantage of this and blowing it up far more than what it is. So keep on doing what you're doing, and maybe these other hosts will wake up and not sound like a bunch of blithering idiots and parrot callers, you know, to pacify or get airtime to the host and repeat what the host says. I'm so sick of it I could puke. But there is a anyhow, on RBN, when you go to the home page yesterday, the name of it is Work at Home. Good chance we'll create a full-blown depression. I suggest that you go and pull that up. A lot of people my age could die from it. But you go into a hospital, there's 100,000 deaths a year caused by the hospital. But anyhow, get this message out what you're doing, and maybe you'll wake the people up that they're being screwed and fight back. Okay, thank you. Both of you have a good day.
Thanks, Brad, for your kind remarks and encouraging remarks and very salient observations. Brian, we're going on the break here again at the bottom of the hour, but good advice on nutrition there, huh?
Absolutely. Let's clear up a lot of things. I think that if you do a victim profile of the people that were dying in China, then you had to find a gene, but also they probably had caffeine and nicotine and animal fats in their body.
Brian, we're getting your mic is too hot. There's something, maybe you're too close to it. Try again. Back off a little bit.
How's that?
Oh, much better. Yeah, it was too hot.
Okay, yeah. Again, if you did a forensic on the people that were dying in Wuhan that kicked this thing off. Oh, I guess like we're going to a commercial.
Yeah, we'll pick that up after the speak too. We have another call. Stay on.
The simple smile, such platonic eye, how they drown in incomplete capacity. Strangers thought them all when the fear it calls, how we drown in stylistic audacity. Charge the common ground.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
How would you like to earn an extra $10,000 or more a month from the comfort of your home? We show you how to win with a home-based business opportunity. This could be one of the best financial decisions you ever make. Work from home, full-time or part-time. Plus, you'll never have to talk to anyone. Our professional sales team closes all your sales for you, and you keep 70% of all the sales made. You could be earning money while you're sleeping, shopping, working out, wherever you are, day or night. Our system goes to work for you. You can make a great income without any special computer skills or sales training. Plus, you get paid fast, within just 24 to 48 hours after our professional sales team closes a sale for you. Let us help you eliminate your financial concerns. You could be earning enough money to pay off debt, buy a house, a car, or whatever the case may be. We've got you covered. If you'd like to add an extra $10,000 or more a month to your portfolio, and you would like to know exactly what we're doing and how we're doing it, go now to www.getstartedwithus.com. That's www.getstartedwithus.com. Again, that's www.getstartedwithus.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
And welcome back to Stop the Presses. Your host, Mark Anderson, 23rd of March, 2020. My guest is Brian David Anderson. And we've outlined so far, ladies and gentlemen, some essential things, such as that the institution of 5G in China was very, very suspiciously timed, and at the right frequency can bring about bodily changes and problems that mirror the respiratory problems that are said to be the onset of a coronavirus infection. So this is something that deserves a very, very close look. And we just had the caller, Brian, about the importance of nutrition, evidently going back to Hippocrates, let thy medicine be thy food be thy medicine. You're pretty much a disciple of naturopathy, you know, the body's ability to heal itself. Pretty good advice, don't you think?
Yeah, very much so. And also one of the key things is hydration.
Your mic's real hot again, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's that better?
Yeah, keep going. Yeah, you don't need
so
to talk.
Hydration is one of the key things other than nutrition is also hydration.
Yes.
And I do recommend people look out my website, trivortex.com, TriVortex. And I sell individual items that can help hydration. And normally I wouldn't, you know, promote something like this, you know, on a show like this, but the hydration is extremely important. And I have a very simple technology that, and inexpensive to improve hydration. So that's all I'll just say on that one. We won't go any more into it, but check out the TriVortex website. But yeah, the whole thing about nutrition, hydration is very, very important. And as I, what I think was also a cofactor with the Wuhan is that everybody had the mandated vaccines. And so then there was aluminum, there was all different types of metals and various other foreign objects in the bodies of the individuals. And then the coronavirus, maybe they had then the 5G phone. So it was being focused on them. They had the vaccine at 60 gigahertz. And that was, you know, sometimes for some people that was just, you know, fatal, almost immediately fatal.
Yeah, amazing to consider. And so we hear nothing in the news as they go, you know, completely into fear porn about only talking about the deaths that they say are attributable to the novel COVID-19 coronavirus and the cases or infections that they say are attributable to that virus. You hear nothing about naturopathy, homeopathy. You hear, you know, occasional patronizing statements like, well, the CDC recommends you eat a better diet and get more rest. But do we really need a CDC nanny state agency telling us something so simple as to get more rest and to eat a better diet and things like that? Don't we already know that? So you know, if we get anything at all, it's just this patronizing, you know, kind of condescension, if you will.
Oh, if anybody can get Silver Hydrazole, that's a very good product to burn the mouth and eyes and that type of thing will help.
I'm getting some distortion on your mic. I don't know what it is. Just back up away from it a little bit more.
Okay, is that better?
Earlier in the show, it was a lot different. I don't know what's going on.
Is that better now?
Yes.
Okay, I think I turned the volume button up. It's a new microphone.
Yeah,
okay, is that better now?
Yeah, go ahead and reiterate the last couple sentences there.
Silver Hydrazole, if people can get your hands on that, and either the gel or the liquid, it's a less diluted thing than colloidal silver. And up in the nose and in the mouth with Silver Hydrazole, and it's a very good thing for any types of bacteria, anything like that, and also those proteins that you could possibly test positive for. It pretty much Silver Hydrazole will take care of that. And also too is that you know, there's been studies done in that they took they had a horse that was had a cold. They knew it, and he was sneezing and it was coughing. They put a bag over the horse's head, and he kept sneezing and coughing, and they took that bag and put it on several other horses, and none of the horses got sick. Another thing they did is they would take actually the materials inside of the nose, mix it up into another formula, into some saline, and then inject it into people, which is if you're going to get anything, especially in an injection, and nobody got anything. So us transmitting various types of negative things to each other is pretty much been the whole germ theory has been debunked. The germ theory then led to an immune system, which that also is an illusion. And so the key thing is when we get toxins into our body, then we have to give this off. We have to throw that toxin off. And it comes out in the matter of little proteins and RNA, what they call RNA types of things, but it's very minuscule types of things. So the whole virus theory came from where they did electron microscopes on cells, and you have to gold plate the cell. And so when you gold plate it, then they would see these little bumps right over the cell, and they just assumed, they said, that was the virus. There was no way they could analyze it, do anything with it. That could have been just, again, the cell pushing out toxins out of its body, out of the cell itself, out of the cell wall. But that's how the virus theory got started also, was through this electron microscope thing. And it was really, really poor science. So the whole area of viruses is extremely, extremely poor science.
Well, you know, that's interesting. Real quick question, but we got to take a caller in a minute. Why would they have to gold plate the object that's going to be looked at with the electron microscope?
That's the only way it only looks at shadows. You can look down at the substance, but it's mainly almost like a dark field microscope. It's shadows. It looks for shadows. And so you're just looking at the shadow or the contours of whatever you're trying to look at. The way the electron microscope works. But you can get very low on it. You can get real small, but you have to have it still. You have to have it really rock solid so it's not moving. And that then just all it looks at is contours.
Interesting. So to boil it down, the whole germ theory of disease, which always has struck me a little weird. I don't totally question it, but I do question it some. But what you're saying is the basic germ theory of disease, at least as it relates to viruses, bacteria are actually living organic organisms, but as at least as it relates to viruses, the germ theory of disease is very wanting, you're telling me. You're saying very built on shaky science.
Yeah. And there's any really biologist or any person that has spent any time in any type of work in virology, they will tell you that the virus's main thing is it's an excretion. It is, and it doesn't have any DNA. It has nothing to it. It is just basically just this kind of blob of material. And the viruses occur after there has been some sort of problem. There was a magazine article in Virology, Journal of Virology, back in 2012, and it had this big headline, and they were using all this garbage and, you know, not garbage, but, you know, scientific gobbledygook, and I kind of was attracted to it. So what I did then is I got all my dictionaries out, medical, biology, that type of thing, and I broke this article down, and then I wrote a paper about it, and I showed it to virologists, I showed it to the authors of the paper, and I showed it to the editors of Virology, and I never got any responses. And what I said is, what I analyzed, what the article said, is that you have to have an environment set up for the virus first. If there is no toxic environment, there is no virus, period. It doesn't happen. You have to have an environment first. So the etiology or the beginning of the health crisis in the body itself has to become from some sort of toxic poisons, lymphatic system breakdown, and then the virus comes in. The virus did not cause anything. It's a symptom of the problem itself. And so I presented this to this called the Townsend Letter, which is an alternative health publication, and they got out of printing it because, well, they asked me if I had any references, do I have any bibliography on this, and what layman has ever taken an article and broken down a scientific paper and then, you know, turned around and proved it. So I didn't have anything, you know, to have references, so that was their way of getting out of it, because here's a guy, I don't have a college degree, and I basically independent type of study, and I took this thing and broke it all apart and, you know, said, here's what it is. And I gave it to a immunologist out of Scripps Clinic here. He passed it around the office. And I then cornered him about 2 months later. And I said, hey, you know, can I get a reaction on the paper? He said, nobody wants to touch your paper. To do so would be academic suicide. But I said, okay, that means then that everything that I wrote was correct, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. And he didn't reply one way or another. He didn't say, no, you're here it is. Here, nobody ever took the paper that I wrote and said, okay, you are wrong here, you are wrong here, this is ridiculous, no, incorrect, nobody. Everybody just wanted to avoid it as much as possible.
So in other words, the toxicity in our environment through clandestine or other applications of chemicals in agriculture for other applications, of course, you know, pollution through smokestacks,
it's also diet, it's stress.
Yes,
many factors, not just our environment, but it's also with inside of ourselves. What are we putting in our bodies? Are we dehydrated? And what kind of stress are we under?
And what are we eating in terms of junk food or bad additives? And of course, those are legion. That's always been what I have felt is the truth, is that someone even said that cancer tumors are not really what we're told, that tumors are pockets of toxicity, and when a doctor does a test, you know, pokes at it, what do they call that? A biopsy. There it is. Once they do a biopsy, they're actually disturbing the toxins, and they begin to flow around the body. So maybe that's a stretch, but do you think there's any truth to that? Are tumors what we're told, or are they just pockets of toxicity where the body isolates them trying to fight off the toxins?
There's also inflammation that accompanies that. When you twist your ankle and you have all that water there,
and you're going to draw that water out, and then you have inflammation around the cancer area, and you draw that inflammation out, you put on two slides, you put them under a microscope, and any biologist, any virologist, any epidemiologist, they cannot tell the difference between what the liquid has been pulled out of your ankle and what's been pulled out of the cancer. It all looks the same. It's inflammation. So you have that, what you said, is the cell is toxic, but then it attracts water that stops, you know, it stops the flow of water through the body. And the body's attempting to try to flush it out. That's why hydration is extremely important in any type of disease. So even at this time, whether it's, you know, the virus is real or not, is that if you want to avoid flu conditions, drink plenty of water as you can, and also drink the right kinds of water. I wrote a booklet on my website.
We're still getting a little bit of occasional distortion on your mic. Yeah, we live in a coffee and tea culture, of course, and those are diuretics. And you put alcohol on top of that, and you're going to have a lot of dehydration. And as you say, you have to have the right type of hydration, as well as be aware of all these factors, alcohol, tea, coffee, that lead to a lot of dehydration. I got to get to the caller. And, Brian, again, check your mic. Make sure it's not too hot. Ken from New York, I hope you're still there. Please, thanks for hanging on.
No problem. RBN's been experiencing some noise lately. I heard some like this last week where all the callers had some kind of a problem. I don't know if it's the same thing or not, but I wrote to my congressman recently, and I said, if you guys are really serious about getting rid of this, and I use quote-unquote problem, because I'm not really sure if it is or not, or what it is, if they'd stop the chemtrail spraying on Long Island, I'm on eastern Long Island, we've been getting hit heavy with this stuff since 2016. I get a lot of bronchitis. I use a nebulizer with silver in it, the hydrosol, and it does get rid of it, and then it'll come back again when they start spraying quite a bit. And the UV would probably go a long way. If you had a clear sky, it would probably go a long way to sanitizing some of this stuff.
Interesting point there.
And I told him that instead of worrying about this crackpot, and I used the word crackpot in the letter, you know, we've been told not to use certain phrases, and you know, don't call it chemtrailing. I call it geoengineering / chemtrailing. One time, about a year ago, one of their staff actually referred me to Dane Wigington's site, Geoengineering. I said, so you know about it. And he's really underfunded, and he doesn't really have the, you know, all he can do is, you know, record everything that goes on. They know about it. They won't do anything about it. They paint X's in the skies. There was an organization that was going after them. But back in 2014, they said that they couldn't afford to stay, you know, to carry on. So one of the last things that I read about them was that this was a local organization trying to get rid of this stuff, where they said that they stopped using American pilots. They didn't want to do this kind of work anymore, and they've been using foreign pilots. And on a clear day, when these guys start spraying, they will cross. They are way higher than commercial air traffic. You can see something silvery, the sun shining on them, and they'll cross the entire sky in about 2 minutes. These guys are really traveling.
Yeah, I've heard about that same kind of thing. Your thoughts, Brian?
What I've heard, how's my mic?
It's good now. I didn't think about outside interference, but go on.
One of the key substances I heard is that's in the chemtrails is Trinitron X, and that is a high concentrate surfactant, and that also is what gives the rainbow colors. But that also then acts as a kind of like a catalyst or a adhesive for all the other things that they're putting, whatever they may be putting in the air at the time. So its base, though, is Trinitron X.
Interesting. Thanks, Ken from New York. We have another New York caller, and time is getting tight. Frank from New York, you still with us?
Yes, I hope I have time. Does your guest say, or did your guest say that viruses are basically inert and that they only come alive and do damage when they come in contact with other organisms that are alive?
I think he said when they come in contact with toxins or in a toxic environment. Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
Basically, the virus, from what I have learned from the kind of like maverick biologists, is they're saying that the virus is an excretion of toxins by the cell. So the actual virus itself, you can actually pick it up and put it in a go someplace else with it, another part of the body or with another person, and the virus itself cannot cause any type of damage. The damage comes from the already being either high stress, poor diet, or pesticides and poisonings in the body itself. The virus is inert and really it does not cause any type of problems whatsoever. It's just a byproduct of poisons.
So if that material could be encapsulated and not broken into a protein shell, are you saying it would be no danger to us?
From what I understand that the biologists are saying is that the virus itself is not the cause of any type of problems. Your key problem is in a toxic body, which is then causing backup of liquids and cell degeneration. The virus is not responsible for that. The virus is actually then a byproduct of already that whole poison syndrome.
Would enzymes that gobble up proteins, errant proteins, would that help?
What's that?
Would enzymes that would gobble up errant, like kind of like Pac-Man proteins, gobble up these proteins, would that help?
I've never heard that theory before. Have to check into it. But again, if the viruses are not causing any problems, then why would you have to have an enzyme gobbling them up?
Well, yeah, true, but for those viruses that are causing havoc, then there has to be some way to
prove that they cause havoc. You need to prove that the virus caused havoc in the first place. And as I said, the article in Journal of Virology said that in the onset of the cause is not the virus. It is the toxic environment.
You're really on to something there. Can you give me the citation for that article, that magazine?
Yeah, if you would... email me, Brian, at trivortex.com.
Tribe, T-R-I-B-E?
T-R-I-V-O-R-T-E-X.com. And I've got a link to the article that I wrote about the article, and I have a link to the article itself. It's still up on the Internet, so you can read both ways. If you are familiar, if you're already in, sounds like you're already have some sort of background. So for myself, I had to go in as a layman and I had to get my book out and, get all the terms that they were saying and everything else like that. So I think you would find this article very intriguing.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it. Don't expect a Nobel Prize, but I think you've nailed it. Thanks. Thanks, guys. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Right. Thanks for calling, Frank. Yeah. Again, that's Brian at trivortex.com. T-R-I-V-O-R-T-E-X. Be like Venus, Brian at trivortex.com. We do have one more caller, Chance from West Virginia. We're going to have to really keep it brief, Chance.
Yeah, hello, guys. My question is, I find myself dehydrated quite a bit because I drink a lot of coffee. Now, would drinking more filtered water and ingesting more colloidal silver liquid, would that help my particular situation?
Go ahead,
absolutely
Brian.
Not. Stay away from that colloidal silver with coffee. Do not do that.
I'm not
that
talking
is,
at
that
the
is
same.
A, that's I'm not. Not that's not. I would recommend that research about colloidal silver. I know a lot about it. I've dealt with it for 30 years. The major thing you need to do is get off the coffee itself. I do recommend you go up my website, trivortex.com, and the bottom video on the homepage, I address hydration and coffee in that video, and why it's so important that about coffee. It's a major dehydrator. As much as you drink, you can drink all the water you want, and you're still going to be behind the eight ball with coffee. So the best thing to do is get off the coffee and go to some good, high-quality water. I've also written a book about water and hydration called Superhydrate and Charge Your Cells, and that is also up on the Trivortex website. It takes about 45 minutes to read. It's a free PDF. So I have a video about water, and I also have a booklet about water. But the best thing I can advise for you is do not do the colloidal silver. If you're going to do anything, do silver hydrazole. It's a much weaker form of silver. You can drink that all day, and it's not going to harm you. You do some colloidal silver. It has some contraindications. It has some downsides, especially if you drink it with coffee.
Okay, so that's trivortex.com, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much. Now, goodbye, gentlemen.
Thanks a lot for calling, Chance. Yeah, I would note that there are some good teas that are coffee substitutes out there that have carob in them that are pretty healthy and do not dehydrate. They have no caffeine whatsoever. They are not diuretics, and they have dandelion and carob and things like that. It's helped me get off coffee and vastly minimize its intake. Anyway, Brian, any final thoughts? I appreciate all the callers, but we're really coming up against the coronavirus myth, and we could have gotten into some history today that I would have liked to have covered, but there is actually a coronavirus patron saint of plagues and diseases in Italy, correct?
Yeah, northern Italy of all places. The bones of this saint are buried in northern Italy, and she's the patron saint of epidemics and plagues.
And so her name is Corona.
Yeah. So I do recommend there is also some great videos on if you go up to BitChute.com and look under Space Busters, S-P-A-C, Busters, Space Busters, and they have a series of programs, three of them, the three-part, and I think that they nailed it. They are one of the very best investigators. They put together some of the best programs about what we're going on right now, and basically verifying a lot of things and even going to much more detail in those three-part series that's up on, again, Space Busters at BitChute, B-I-T-E, shoot, .com.
Yeah, B-I-T-C-H-U-T-E, right?
Yeah, BitChute.com. Then on the search engine, go to Space Busters. And then you want to do that. They have a three-part series on. It's interesting how they do the CV.
That'll be all for today's show. See everybody next time.
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.